Okay, let us begin with our metta recital. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings have happy minds, whatever living beings there may be, without exception, weak or strong, long, large, medium, short, subtle or gross, visible or invisible, living near or far, born or coming to birth, may all beings have happy minds. Let no one deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere, neither from anger nor ill will should anyone wish harm to another. As a mother would risk her own life to protect her only child, even so towards all living beings, one should cultivate a boundless heart. One should cultivate for all the world a heart of boundless loving friendliness, above, below and all around, unobstructed, without hate or resentment, whether standing, walking, sitting. One should develop this mindfulness. This is called divinely dwelling here. Not falling into erroneous views, virtuous and endowed with vision, removing desires for sensual pleasures, one comes again to birth in the womb. You can see in this recital, Buddha said whether sitting, standing, walking, lying down or when awake, one should develop this mindfulness. We are reciting metta and suddenly we come across mindfulness. So it means we cannot practice metta without mindfulness, because if we practice metta without mindfulness, we can develop something, a mental state which is not really a metta. Without our mindfulness, metta turns into clinging, craving, attachment. So we should be able to distinguish between attachment and metta by using mindfulness. So with mindfulness we practice metta in order to make metta practice very meaningful. When Buddha met monks after they have spent some time in forest meditating, sometimes 3 months they spent in forests meditating, and they returned to see the Buddha. Buddha would ask them, "Bhikkhus, have you lived in peace and harmony? Just like milk and water, kheera udaki bhuta." Kheera means milk, udaka means water. Have you lived like water and milk so harmoniously, peacefully, seeing each other's into their eyes without any resentment, uneasiness? This means that Buddha wanted to know how much loving friendliness they practice together when they live in a forest. When several people, even monastics, live together in one place for a certain period of time, there could be situations that triggers resentment, anger, quarrel, argument, debate, and so on. If some community can live harmoniously without this squabbling, fighting, quarreling, that community is practicing metta. Loving each other, helping each other. Sometimes when Buddha asked, how have you lived together without quarreling? The monks would report to the Buddha, Venerable Sir, when we go on our alms round, whichever one returns earlier would bring water, prepare seeds, arrange seeds, clean the place, and wait for others to return. And when the next person, next day, another one comes earlier, he would do the same thing. When they had work to do, like washing robes, dyeing robes, and so on, when one monk has to dye robe, all the monks get together and help him to get his work done. When there is a kuti to prepare, all the monks get together and help that monk to prepare the kuti. They don't try to stay away. When there is a work, they all work together in friendliness. This way they maintain harmony and peace among themselves. So the metta is not limited to recital, thinking, and feeling on the cushion. Metta is an active practice in words, thoughts, and deeds. We express metta. When we talk about a person in that person's absence, we talk in a very friendly way, in a way that even when the person is present, we would do the same kind of talk about the person. When we do things in friendliness, whether somebody is in our presence or not, we honestly do it to support. So we talk, work, think, recite, and feel metta all the time. As I mentioned earlier, we practice metta for ourselves. When we recite these words, think about the meaning of these words, the world is not going to be peaceful. world will continue to be as it is. We have no control over the world. At the beginning of meditation instructions, the Buddha has said the meditator should discipline, control one's abhijja domanasa, intense greed and anger. That's the very basic preliminary practice. Vinaya loke abhijja domanasam, having control or discipline oneself regarding intense greed, abhijja, and domanasa, anger in the world. Vinaya loke, loke means world. We are not going out to remove greed and anger from each and every person among these 7 billion people living in the world. It is, even one were to think of doing it, he would be crazy, because he cannot do it. Here, loka is our own world. Each and every one of us live in our world. No matter how much we intermingle with each other, we live in our own world. Intense greed arises in our world, anger arises in our world. So we practice metta, mindfulness, in this world of ours. We always must remember that it is practically impossible for us to remove the greed and anger in the world. It never happened. But when we practice metta for ourselves within our own mind, in our own world, we can live harmoniously with others. We can live in a very friendly way with others. And we feel comfortable wherever we go, whoever we meet, we can relax. We can feel comfortable with the person, even though they are strangers to us, we don't feel uncomfortable. If our mind is full of metta, we feel relaxed, we feel comfortable, easy to talk, and easy to listen, easy to get along with others. So it has a very practical benefit. All come from these two factors. One is mindfulness, other is metta. So whenever we are alone, practicing mindfulness and metta, we should never think that it will not work when we go to the society. It definitely works in the society with other individuals, human, animal, and divine. So we have heard a lot of stories about the benefit of metta in practical life of those who live in monasteries, forest monasteries, caves, under trees. They have to live with wild animals, not because the wild animals think that those monks living in the forest are some among them. I don't think they feel that they are other species of animals. Of course, in the fundamental sense, we all are. And yet, a tiger would not think a monk is another tiger. Bear may not think a monk is another bear. Also not because they live in the forest, they also assimilate into forest atmosphere, and their body also smells like trees, grass in the forest. That also may have something to contribute, but primarily because these meditators in forests live very relaxed, peaceful life, practicing metta without ever thinking of hurting those other beings around them. So they can live with them harmoniously. As I said, when the mind is clean, it can perform miracles. So we practice mindfulness and metta. And metta has a very special name when we practice jhanas and go to immaterial states. Buddha called it subha. Subhanti adhimutto hoti. The mind liberates thinking of the purity of mind. Mind frees of all the agitation and excitement. There are a lot of benefits of metta. For those who practice, if you do not practice and simply recite words and read books and listen to talks and discuss, it is not going to work. And then we practice mindfulness together with metta. Then the mindfulness also becomes stronger and progressive. We can see benefits of it. I said yesterday, when you practice metta, fire, poison, weapon would not affect us. That literally is not true. While we are meditating, if somebody comes behind and shoots, a bullet definitely goes through our body. If somebody stabs us behind, the weapon goes through our body. Without our awareness, if somebody set fire to us, we certainly would get burned. If somebody mix poison in our food and give us, we eat and poison goes into our body. What it means that fire, poison, weapon are greed, hatred and delusion. Ragaggi, dosaggi, mohaggi. Raga satta, dosa satta, moha satta. Raga visa, dosa visa, moha visa. These terms are used in the Pali literature. In Aditya Pariyaya Sutta, Ragagina Chakkum Bhikkhave Adityam Kena Adityam Ragagina Dosagina Mohagina and so forth. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind are burning with the fire of greed, fire of hatred, fire of delusion, and it is this fire that will not affect the one who practices metta. Similarly, the same poison or weapon of greed, hatred and delusion will not affect the one who practices metta. So people naively sometimes believe that when they practice metta, literally they will not be burnt by fire, will not be affected by weapon and poison. These weapons, poison, fire are within us, and when we practice metta, they are the ones that do not affect us. So friends, from any angle when we look at the practice of metta, we can see its benefit. Keep coming back to the mind again and again. Whenever it wanders away with greed, jealousy, fear, anger and so on, don't dwell upon the external objects, events, situations, but keep coming back to the mind and deal with them within the mind. We are in a position to deal with whatever is happening to us if we learn how to practice mindfulness and metta together. With these few words of encouragement, I like to stop talking and let's continue our practice.